Hello, CPC. My name is Caleb. I serve as the high school director here at CPC, and I just want to tell you and any students watching, I miss you. I am so heavily extroverted, and I miss seeing people. I miss seeing my church family. I'm so excited to share with you. I'm humbled, I'm honored, I'm privileged that Tyler asks me to communicate a few times a year. It really is a blessing for me and a joy for me. So I am excited to share with you. We're in week two of a series called FOMO, the fear of missing out. Tyler broke the seal last week and delivered a powerful message. And this week, it's my turn and I'm excited. When I was 13 years old, it was 2008, and we were in the middle of the Great Recession. I'm sure many of you remember the Great Recession, how troubling financially it was for many people. And my parents were one of them. My parents were one of the people heavily affected by the Great Recession. See, my parents only made $1,500 a month throughout the season of the Great Recession. And whether it's 2008 or now, you know, you can't really live off $1,500 a month in Danville. It's challenging, but somehow with God's favor and blessing, they were able to persevere. But there's one moment during that season that would shape my life for the next 10 years. I was walking downstairs a Monday morning. I was walking downstairs to go and get ready for school. And my dad says, "Hey, everyone, I need you to come over." So me and my brother and my mom gathered around the dining room table, and he had this coin jar. And it's one of those jars, I'm sure many of you have them at home, where you put like spare change in. And he comes up and he dumps out the change on the counter, and he starts separating the change out. And it comes out to about $8. And then he splits it in half to $4. And he pushes it over to me and my brother, and he says this, "Boys, this is all we have left. This is all we have left. Spend it wisely on your lunches this week." And that moment, is ingrained in my memory, and it shaped my life. For the next 10 years, I would posture and position myself to be in situations where I was financially secure. I would go as far as to say that the greatest source of joy in my life was my financial security. The greatest source of joy in my life was my financial security. I'm sure many of you are like me. You find your joy in your job, in the stock market, in your friends, in your family, in your friendships, and even in sports. But what happens when they're the greatest source of our joy and then they fail, we experience FOMO. We experience FOMO. You didn't get that job, but he did. She did. You didn't get that promotion, but they did. FOMO. You invested in a business that failed, but they invested in a business that tripled in profit, tripled in value. You experience FOMO. You even look at people's kids sometimes and you think, their kids are smarter and they're more talented. Like, and you're wondering, and you just have this thought, and then you think, FOMO. You're like me, maybe you're like me, and you have Find My Friends on your phone, and you like go on Find My Friends every once in a while. It's like, Find My Friends, I'm just gonna go up. Find My Friends it sucks the joy out of your life. You just look on there to see what all your friends are doing without you. It is the source of FOMO amongst people my age, I swear. And maybe it's even sports. You put your joy, the greatest source of joy, in sports, and then the 49ers lose the Super Bowl. The 49ers lose the Chiefs win, and all the Chiefs fans are blowing up, and all the 49ers fans are experiencing what? FOMO. Now, putting joy in things like entertainment and kids and spouse and job, is not bad. It's actually good. Jesus gives us these things. God gives us these things for our enjoyment. But what he wants is the primary spot in our heart. He wants he wants to be the greatest source of your joy. Listen, take a look back at the last 6 weeks. If you are lacking joy in the last 6 weeks, think about what is missing. And that might be an indicator of where you put the greatest source of your joy. Which, this leads to our big idea, which is this. Your relationship with Jesus should be your greatest source of joy. Here's what we have all come to know and to realize, that we as human beings are not in control. We are not in control. We're seeing the stock market crash. People are getting sick. People are losing jobs. We're not in control like we thought we were. And so when we place our joy as we place these things as the greatest source of joy and they fail, we experience FOMO. But what if we placed our joy in Jesus, who doesn't fail? God is in control. That is why he should be the greatest source of our joy. Now, I have heard a lot of sermons and teachings and preachings on joy. And I have preached on joy. And every time I feel like I see people getting up on stage and saying, choose joy. You can choose joy. You can choose joy. It's up to you to choose joy. And I spent some time, and I've said that. I've said that. I'm guilty. And I've said that. And I was spending time thinking and praying through this topic just over the course of probably the last year, to be honest with you, thinking about joy and how we get joy and how, do we choose joy? And I have come to this conclusion. It's not up to us. We don't choose. Actually, it's this. We partner with Jesus to receive joy. We partner with Jesus to receive joy. Let me show you a few areas of scripture where I see this and I have found this and I've studied these over the last year. In John 15, we just had a series a few weeks back called the I Am series, where we looked at these big, bold statements that Jesus makes, and we taught on this passage. But at the end, I want to point it out again. It's so good. He says this, I have told you this. What is he talking about? He's talking about abiding in him. I have told you to abide in me so that my joy may be in you. Not our joy. His joy. His joy in us. And then I see it in Galatians 5:22. It says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Notice what it doesn't say here. It doesn't say the fruit of our human nature or the fruit of having a good job or the fruit of having amazing kids or the fruit of loving the right team or the fruit of crushing it in the stock market and killing it in the marketplace. No, no, no. None of those. It's the fruit of his Holy Spirit. And what does it do? It gives us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. It's an overflow. When we accept Jesus into our hearts overflow with these attributes, with these characteristics. And then I see it again in Romans 15:3. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy. God does the filling. And then I see it again. Tyler preached on this last week, Psalm 16. The whole sermon was on this psalm, this passage in Psalms. And it says this. I saw it at the end. I was like, there it is again. I was so excited. It says, you fill me with joy. God, you fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. In his presence, he fills us with joy. So then how do we partner? If we partner with Jesus to receive joy, how do we partner with Jesus to receive his joy? And the answer is this. Follow him. Anytime he would walk up to a new person that he wanted to be a disciple, he would say, follow me. So the invitation that he's giving us today to you watching right now, follow him. Follow him. A part of the gifts that we receive. So when we accept Jesus, we obviously get these amazing things like eternal life and light, yeah, and salvation and rescue from our sins. But there's something else we receive. We actually start to get his characteristics and his nature. We become more like Jesus. And one of those characteristics is joy. It's joy. So we're going to look at a story in the Gospel of Mark. It's called The Young Rich Ruler. I'm sure many of you are aware of the story. And it's an amazing story, but let me explain what the story is and give a little background. The story is a man walks up to Jesus, and Jesus prompts this man to receive the greatest source of joy, which is himself. But the man has FOMO. Fear of missing out. He has so much FOMO that he chooses his stuff and possessions over Jesus. Now, this is how we can relate to this guy. This is how we can relate to the young rich ruler. One, he's affluent. So he's wealthy. He has lots of possessions. And whether you make $50,000 a year to $1 million a year, if you live in California Bay Area, you are affluent. And he has influence. And many of you watching are leaders in industries and in businesses and in corporations. And you have influence. So this guy has affluence and he has influence. But what this story is not, let me explain what this story is not. It's not Jesus condemning people like you and me who are people with lots of possessions, or people who are leaders, or people who have a high level of influence or a high social status. He's not condemning us. What he's doing is reminding us that the source of joy, the greatest source of joy, who should be number one is him. And those other things are awesome, and they're given to us, and they bless us, and he gives them to us for our enjoyment. But Jesus is saying, I should be number one. So let's get started on the passage. It's Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 17. It says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? This guy is riddled with FOMO. Riddled. Because think about this. He has affluence, money, possessions, wealth. He has influence. In another gospel, it says he's a religious leader. So he is highly influential and high social status. But those are not enough to him. He's like, I want more. And he sees and hears about a guy named Jesus who's performing miracles and talking about everlasting life and eternal life. And he's running to Jesus. He's like, I don't want to miss out. And then Jesus responds and says this. Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Jesus is playing chess, and this guy is playing checkers. Jesus tells him tells him the commandments that just have to do with people. But he doesn't tell him the commandments that have to do with God, because he knows that he's not following them, like this one. You shall have no other idols before me. You shall have no other gods before me. See, what Jesus wants is position in your life. He loves that we find joy in all of these things, but what he wants is to be the greatest source of joy, the number one spot. That's what he wants. And then we continue on. Teacher, this man declares, all of these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. This is my favorite part of the passage. Jesus looks at this young rich ruler and is not annoyed or condemning. He loves him. And he knows that this young man built his ladder of success up, and he's now realizing, or he's going to realize, that the ladder is leaned against the wrong building. The ladder is leaning against stuff, possessions, influence, which will fall. And it's not leaning against Jesus, who is unshakable. Unshakable. Continue on. It says, one thing you lack. Go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. There it is again. At this, the man's face fell and he went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus gives him two commandments. One of them is for all of us, follow me. And the other one is just for him. Go and sell all of your possessions and give it away to the poor. He's doing this because Jesus is so smart. He knows what this man is going to choose. He's going to choose his stuff because he has FOMO. He doesn't want to miss out on all of those things, right? He says he went away sad because he had great wealth. He didn't want to miss out on the social status and the things and the belongings. Continue on. It says this. Jesus looked around after the man had left and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at these words. And then Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel, which was the largest animal in Israel at the time, to go through the eye of a needle, which is the smallest hole in Israel, than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. That is offensive. That is offensive. But what Jesus is saying, and it's a good check to us, what Jesus is saying is, when you have a lot of stuff, it's really easy, or it's really hard to get rid of it all. Same goes for talent. If you're a gifted athlete, football, soccer, baseball, lacrosse, what if Jesus walked up to you and said, give it all up and follow me? Would you do it? What about a musician? You love playing music. You love it so much. You love going out and playing gigs and venues. I get it. I love it too. But what if Jesus came up and said, you're so talented. I've blessed you with so many gifts. Will you give it all up and follow me? Would you do it? Would you do it? He knows. Jesus knows that the more talents or the more wealth or the more influence, the higher the social status, the harder it is to give up to follow him. Next part, he says this. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Jesus is saying, the grace I'm going to extend when I die on the cross will make it so that if you are poor or rich, high influence or low influence, black or white, Jew or Gentile, no matter what, you can enter into my kingdom by following me. No matter what, because anything and all things are possible with God. So back to the young rich ruler. He has FOMO. He has the fear of missing out on two things we see. One, he doesn't want to lose his influence, his social status, his wealth. But on the other side, he actually doesn't want to miss out on Jesus a little bit. So Jesus asks him this clarifying question. Basically, Where's your heart? What do you want more? And he walked away. He walked away from Jesus. Our greatest FOMO should be a relationship with Jesus. Did you get that? The greatest thing that we should fear missing out on, the thing that we should fear the most of not getting, is a relationship with Jesus. Amen? If you have fears of missing out on things like jobs and maybe prom and graduation and your resume and a promotion, you fill in the blank. Jesus is saying, I actually want those things for you. I want you to find those things and find joy and entertainment and love out of those things. But the main thing that I want for my children is a relationship with me. Everything else pales in comparison. Relationship with me is a country mile above those things. Because our joy comes from him. Our joy comes from him. This man, the young rich ruler, walks away. He's looking at the source of the greatest joy in the face and turns away for his stuff. He should have been on his knees thanking Jesus for the invite to follow him. To follow him. The writer of Hebrews says it this way: God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. You should have FOMO about missing out on a relationship with Jesus. And maybe it's not you who's watching, but do you have a family member or a friend or a neighbor that's missing out on the relationship with Jesus? See, the things that we can never keep, like our jobs and our health and our accolades, they're never going to be as good as the things that we can never lose. Jesus, salvation, pardoning of sins. I'm going to say that one more time again. The things we can never keep will never be as good as the things that we can never lose. And we can never lose our relationship with Jesus. Jesus says, once they're in my hand, in my grip, I will never let them go. Never. So we're torn between the two, aren't we? We're torn between the two. We don't want to miss out on the things that we can't control and all this stuff. But we also don't want to miss out on Jesus. Now, Jesus probably isn't going to prompt you to go and sell all of your things, move to Zimbabwe, or go and become a monk. But he is offering you this. He is offering you this. He's saying, I love that you have all of those possessions and all of those things. But am I your greatest source of joy? Because I should be. I should be your greatest source of joy. I want you to enjoy all of those things. I want you to see your kids play. I want you to see people celebrate and go skiing and go snowboarding and play sports. I want you to do all of those things and enjoy them, but I want to be the greatest source of your joy. Why? Because those things fail, and I never fail. I never fail. This is why I believe our world is experiencing a lack of joy. Because the greatest sources of our joy are failing. And we need to realign our priorities and remember that the greatest source of joy, Jesus, and our relationship with him, will never fail. Let me give you three areas of my life where I have placed things as the greatest source of my joy and have experienced FOMO. The first one, I said it in the beginning, is financial security. It's financial. I don't want to lose my job. I want to be able to support the lifestyle that I live. And it's modest, but I want to be able to support it. And I'm sure I'm not alone. You as well, I'm sure, have a fear of losing your money. You don't want to lose your money. I also have a fear, and this one, I'm not trying to get your daughter's numbers. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is I have a fear of missing out on marriage. I have a fear of missing out on marriage. This is not, again, it's not me trying to get like set up with anybody, but I have a fear of missing out on marriage. And why? It's because all of my friends are getting married and they're having kids, and I don't want to miss out on that. And I'm sure many of you watching are thinking, I don't want to be alone either. I don't want to be alone for the rest of my life. And the last one, the biggest thing that I place as the greatest source of joy, probably the number one, is I'm a 3 on the Enneagram, which means that I am an achiever. And basically what that means is I need to be the best at everything I do. I need to be the best at everything I do. It's a problem. And when I'm not the best at everything I do, I have FOMO. And when I am, you know, top of my class or whatever, I experience this little high sense of joy. But more times than not, I am not the best because of social media and all of the things around me showing me that I am not the best. And so the invitation is to me too. I need my greatest source of joy to be Jesus. But what about you? What are areas in your life where you have placed as number one and two of the greatest sources of joy when it should be Jesus? Think about it. What are the areas in your life where you place above Jesus as the source of your joy? Now, again, it's not bad. It's not wrong to find enjoyment out of those things. But make sure that Jesus is number one in your heart as the source of joy. The big idea, again, is your relationship with Jesus should be your greatest source of joy. I'm going to wrap up with this. We go to Mexico every single year. And to be honest, I'm having FOMO about not going to Mexico and this year. And I was reflecting and thinking about Mexico and just thinking about how much joy comes from that trip and in that trip. And I'm sure many of you know and many of you have been, but it's stinky, to be honest, and dirty. And we take showers with buckets. And we're not on our phones. And it's totally different than what we experience here, right? But the reason why it's so full of joy is because we are imitating the life that Jesus offers us to live when he says, follow me in Mexico. Every single night we spend worshiping God, hearing a teaching, spending time in tent groups, talking about God, right? We spend time with Jesus. That's the first thing we do. The other thing is we're serving the poor. We serve the poor there. And Jesus says that he didn't come to be served, but to serve, right? And so when we serve the poor, when we serve people in need, we are living the life that Jesus offers and extends to us. And the last thing is we're staying connected and with people who are in the same, who follow Jesus as well. Not to say it's bad to have friends who don't follow Jesus. I have many friends like that. But we spend in that time so much time with people who are headed the same direction that fills us with joy hearing their encouragements and their revelations and their excitements about following Jesus. So those are three things. Those are three things that help us receive joy from Jesus. It's spend time with him. Serve people. You can go to cbcdanville.org if you want to serve, find a place to serve, and then spend time in community. Get connected in a group with people who follow Jesus. Remember that Jesus and our relationship with him should be the greatest source of our joy. Let me pray for you. Jesus, thank you so much that you give us joy and you want us to experience joy. We love you and we love what you have done for us on the cross, and we can't thank you enough that we can be welcomed into a relationship with you. Jesus, I pray for the people who are struggling right now to find joy in the midst of this unprecedented time, that you would come over them and you would give them, you would fill them with joy, like your scripture says. Fill them with joy. We love you and we are expectant of that joy, Jesus, because you say you will give it to us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.